You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning and welcome. You listen to Adrian, and this is the SN Fresen Show on High FM 101.9. I'm Adrian Bugatti. Once again, if you've got any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking and food that you'd like to share, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1 rand 50. You can send a telegram message 061-895-1019 or email us on air at highfm.com. You can also reach out on Twitter. The handle is at highfm or our Facebook page, F101.9 High FM. So in today's show, we're looking once again at three new cooking terms and what they mean. So blanching, broiling, and braising, which we've all seen plenty of in cooking shows and in recipe books. I've chosen another three spices to talk about today. They are mustard, black pepper, and something I didn't know that I'd actually seen before, something called borage. I share a recipe today using a form of blanching, and you can find the recipe on the High FM website right after the show. Once again, I'm going to continue about how to effectively meal plan to reduce your food budget and talk about my grocery challenge to the community that I issued 2 weeks ago on Facebook and here on the show. I've got some kosher updates from around the world, and I obviously share the recipe that I said uses blanching, and it is a fantastic bulk recipe that you can keep and freeze. So that's a nice one to do. Right, recipes can sometimes be a minefield of jargon and foreign words and terms that lead us to confusion and not knowing where to begin. And you look at a recipe and you think, I have no idea what they're talking about. Close the recipe and don't even try it again. And we lose out that way. So as I began a couple of weeks ago, here's some terms. So the first term is to blanch. And that is a quick method of cooking food, usually green vegetables, where the item is put into boiling water for a very short period of time and then refreshed in cold water, usually ice water. And this, what this does is ensure that the bright green color and don't fade and turn your water green. Another use for blanching is to peel things like tomatoes. If you score the top of a tomato, plunge it into boiling water, and then straight into an ice bath, the skin just peels off easily. Broiling. Now, it's a very common term used in American recipes. And what they call broiling, we know as grilling. So basically, you preheat a hot grill at the top of your stove until it's bright red. So it's usually the highest setting on your oven, should I say, not your stove. The highest setting on your oven, you put the food on a tray under that oven, under that grill, and it browns the food and has an amazing flavor. And this is great when you don't have a braai. So if you're living in an apartment or something and you want that grilled food taste. And then the last one is braising. Braising is an old French method of cooking meat. It uses a combination of dry and moist heat. The dry heat is when you sear the meat on all sides in the heat. So you put your, you'll find recipes that tell you to brown your meat beforehand. That is braising. Put the meat in, very quickly brown it, and that seals in your delicious juices and flavor of your meat. And then you put the meat into liquid. The best place to use this is on the cheaper cuts of meat because it will keep that flavor and allow it to tenderize as well without too much shrinkage. So that's what that is. You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on High FM 101.9. I am your host, Adrian Bugatti. Once again, if you have any suggestions, questions, tips or information on cooking and food that you'd like to share with us, please send a message, SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1 rand 50, or send a telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. You can also reach out on Twitter at chaifm or the Facebook page 101.9 chaifm. Right. So I said we were going to do some spices now, and one of the world's oldest condiments is mustard. Roman chefs used to grind mustard seeds with grape juice, and this was called must. It was into a spicy paste, and that's where the term mustard came from, or mustard sauce. Okay. Mustard seeds were actually also used as a form of currency in Roman times. So you would, you know, sort of barter with seeds to get what you needed. Mustard is a combination of ground mustard seed and some form of liquid. And that gives you your prepared mustard. So when they're asking for prepared mustard, they want the liquid form or a bottled form, whichever way you get it. And you can do that by taking the mustard powder and just mixing it up with some water to get the quantity that you need. Some of them are sweet mustards, some are spicy mustards, others are like very strong and astringent, almost like acidic. The level of heat given the type of mustard is also dependent on the style of the seeds. So the yellow seeds are very mild, while the brown or black seeds have a lot more heat. Just so you know that the brown and the black seeds actually start off when they are picked as red, and then they're dried out in the sun in large pans and they turn black, and that's where you get that heat from. When you put the liquid in and you break up the mustard seed to get the inside pulp, that's where the spiciness comes out, the potency. And it's usually activated just by water, but you can do with vinegar if you want as well to get the strength. Now, remember, their strength disappears quite quickly, so it'll start off super strong, and then after a while, it loses their potency. So let's talk about the different kinds of mustards. Yellow mustard, the golden child of America's hot dog. That's where the yellow mustard is used the most, and it's the American mustard. It is the mildest flavored mustard. It's bright, bright yellow because of the turmeric that is added to the mustard seed, and it's mixed with vinegar and water and obviously some other spices for each of the different places that make it. So the yellow mustard is crisp, tart, tangy in flavor, and it won't be clearing anybody's sinuses anytime soon. Perfect for burgers, dogs, and homemade salad dressings and sauces. The next one on in is the classic French Dijon mustard. That is, which we'll carry on talking about after the 8 break. You are listening to the Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM 101.9. I'm Adrian Bugatti.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM 101.9. I am your host, Adrian Bugatti. If you've got any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking and food that you would like to share with us, please message us on SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50. Send a telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. You can also reach out on Twitter at chaifm or on the Facebook page 101.9 chaifm. So we were talking about mustard. Now, yellow mustard is the American mustard. Dijon mustard is classic French mustard and has been around since the 1800s and is probably one of my favorite mustards. Dijon is a region in France, but it makes the mustard there, and that's where the term Dijon mustard comes from. It's a protected name. It's not protected, should I say. Anybody can call their mustard Dijon. In fact, most Dijon mustards are not even produced in France. So it's made with brown and white mustard seeds, occasionally black seeds. It's more pungent and spicy than a yellow mustard, And that sharp taste goes really well with sandwich spreads, mayonnaise, or homemade sauces. And I do love to put a tablespoon of Dijon into my homemade mustard. So should I say homemade mayonnaise during the year? It just gives us that extra tang. So you can do a plain mayonnaise, or you can have a nice one with a bit of mustard in it. It is one of the things that I do miss over Pesach when I have to make mayonnaise, is that beautiful mustard tang to it. And then the next mustard is a spicy brown mustard. And this is usually a coarse ground yellow or Dijon mustard. And it's one that you would find, it would be part of your whole grain mustard as well, where the pepper seeds, the mustard seeds are pickled into the sauce and left whole. So when you bite into them, you get that little burst of flavor. It's brown seeds, yellow seeds, and then it also has other spices into it, ginger, nutmeg, cinnamon. And they are beautiful flavored. Used, the best place to find them would be in something like a New York deli on a hot beef on rye with mustard. Love that alone. So pastrami, any corned beef, sausage, it's the best one to, you know, put it on. I love that. And then honey mustard. So many of us use honey mustard on our meats and things because it is beautiful. And to make a decent honey mustard, you actually have 1-to-1. So a tablespoon of honey, a tablespoon of mustard mixed together. Sometimes you will find that some have a sweeter flavor and some have a more tangy flavor. And this is the mustard honey ratio. And they use yellow mustard in a honey mustard sauce because there's a little bit of heat, but a lot of sweet. So that's great for kid-friendly meals, great on chicken, you know, that we do. So let's talk about whole grain mustard. The use of whole grain mustard seed is very simple. Because the seeds are in your sauce, in your liquid, as I've said, when you bite in, that's where your flavor comes in. It's usually a Dijon mustard with the seeds left in. That's your combination for the whole grain mustard. And it makes a beautiful glaze over meat if you mix it with some apple cider to just bring out that flavor. My next spice is black pepper. Once again, black pepper was highly regarded as a condiment, and it was used also as a medium of exchange and tributes in Greece and Rome. Now, the fruit of the peppercorns, the same as the mustard, are red, and then they turn black as they dry. And obviously, we all know the smell of mustard and the flavor, that hot bite that just adds so much to any cooking. Whether you use the ground powdered mustard or you use the fresh cracked mustard sprinkled over your food, either one is absolutely a beautiful flavor, and it's one we all know well. Now we come to one that I didn't know that I'd actually seen before. I have bought a garlic and herb spice in a grinder, and it had these blue bits in it, and I could not work out what they were. I had to go, I couldn't read the label, old age is catching up, and their printing was really small, so I went onto the website. It is an edible ornamental plant, and the flowers are like clusters of stars, like bright blue, and they're fairly fluffy. It's native to the Middle Eastern region and is cultivated in parts of Europe, Great Britain, and North America. The leaves and the flowers are used in salads because they are edible, and the leaves are actually cooked as a vegetable. Dried and fresh leaves are used to season stews and soups and to flavor wine cups and other drinks. So the herb, the garlic and herb mix grinder was from Woolworths, and you will see the blue flakes in it. An amazing flavorful combination that's going to make everything more delicious. Once again, just a reminder, you're listening to Adrian Bugatti, and this is the Essen Fresen Show on Chai FM 101.9, where we're all about the food. So if you have any suggestions, questions, tips or information on cooking and food that you would like to share, please send us a message, SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at R1.50. A Telegram message, 061-895-1019, or email us on air at chaifm.com. And you can reach out on Twitter at chaifm or on the Facebook page, 101.9 chaifm. And still to come up in today's show is part 3 of how to meal plan, and then a reminder of the grocery challenge. And in this week, we talk about meal planning. I talk about how to choose what you're going to put on your meal plan. How do you come up with the ideas to answer that all-important question, what's for supper? And with lots and lots of us stuck at home, schools becoming more and more online, it's more important than ever to know what is on your meal plan. And that's, you know, going to keep our costs down, because I know for most of us, it's like a never-ending feeding scheme. Every 5 minutes, somebody is at the fridge and you get this question, Ma, there's nothing to eat. And that's something that we need to answer, not just in terms of making life a little bit easier for everybody, but in terms of cutting down the cost of groceries. We all agree that food is very expensive. Kosher meat is extremely expensive, and so is the fish. In fact, fish is now more expensive than meat. So that's something we need to take into account when buying our groceries. Trying to keep your kids fed during the day with food that is healthy, that is going to keep them full for longer, that is going to stop the wandering down to the fridge or the interruptions for the Skype schooling or online schooling, however they're doing it. That's an important thing to keep in mind. So one of the ways that I do meal planning is I use a template, meal plan template, and I started as a challenge to myself. The theme days just make life easier. I sometimes will do a period where I go around the world based on my theme days. I have done a meal plan for a client once a while ago who pretty much eats out every single day. So to help choose the restaurant he goes to, we went with a meal plan template, and it just makes it more fun, more enjoyable, and just easier to do. So the first thing is Monday. Monday has become an international day. It's called Meatless Monday. And I choose for my Meatless Monday vegan. The vegan part is, besides being cheaper, if you do it carefully, is for me the challenge of vegan. Now remember, with vegan, there is no eggs, no dairy at all. So no eggs, no milk, no cheese. Nothing like that, no butter. So everything has to be plant-based. And that includes your protein, which most of us who are vegetarian, a lot of vegetarians will eat eggs or cheese or milk or yogurt. So you can use this. Here is my challenge. Absolutely nothing that is animal-based. And it's been quite an adventure. There have been days where I have absolutely messed the whole thing up, and then other days where it's been a breeze to do. Now, as I said, vegetarian and vegan is often cheaper than being a normal meat eater, but it can be just as expensive. If you're looking at the vegan cheeses, that is an expensive endeavor, and you do need quite a bit. But I have found a few recipes. I haven't saved any of them, so I've just looked on the internet for homemade vegan cheese. One of the cheats that I did learn was that you could use ground up cashew nuts as a cheesy type topping instead of using Parmesan. So while the cashew nuts are expensive, they're not as expensive as Parmesan cheese, and not as expensive as kosher Parmesan cheese. So that's a nice, delicious time to try your experiment. I have done for Purim cheeseburgers. where I, in the beginning, I used to use the vegetarian, the vegan burger patties and then put slices of normal milk cheese on. But I also have done a meat burger and got the vegan cheese slices made from coconut oil and folded those into my meat burger so that when you cut out, you had cut it in half, you had this melting cheese in the center. Obviously very much a Purim meal. It is my mock treif meal. Then Tuesday is vegetarian. Vegetarian includes fish, dairy, eggs, so tuna lasagna, any kind of lasagna actually. I don't like the vegan mince, so I don't usually use it. And the soy mince, the box one, is not something we can use in the house because of allergies. So on Tuesdays, it's other things to think of. I do have one or two fish dishes that my family will eat. One of them is angelfish because apparently the angelfish tastes like chicken. Not sure I think it tastes like angelfish. But learning how to do that. Another one is a big comfort food. It's a big thing that I do in winter. Don't do it often. Once again, the cost. And that is a haddock and spaghetti with a cheese sauce. And the cheese sauce gets delicious because I poach my haddock in the milk before using that milk to make the sauce. So it's a yummy flavor. And it is a kid-friendly dish. A lot of the kids like it. It's one of the few that my family still eat. And one, as I said, tuna lasagna, fish cakes, all of those are the Tuesdays. And I try and keep my days that the whole day fits the theme. So Monday evening's lunch will not have meat in it. It will be a vegan lunch. Tuesdays will be a vegetarian lunch. So we'll do fish cakes and turn those into fish burgers. And then supper will be like a lasagna or something like that. Wednesday is mince day. Now, mince has endless possibilities. We do cottage pie, shepherd's pie. And for those who need to know the difference, cottage pie is made with beef. Shepherd's pie is made with lamb. So that's the difference between the two. So we do those. I do tacos quite a lot. My kids love that. We do sloppy joes. We do spaghetti bolognese, chili con carne. I do a minced beef ragu. I've done chicken burgers from Chicken Mince. Boerewors falls for me into the category of mince because it is ground beef stuffed in a casing. So I do boerewors kebabs. If you want to stretch your meat a little bit more, is to put it on skewers, which is great for kids. Kids love skewer food because they can pull it off with their hands or eat it on sticks. And that's just always, finger food is always good. The next one is on a Thursday. Thursday and Friday, I alternate my protein between chicken or red meat. So if I'm doing red meat on Friday, on Thursday night, then we're having chicken for Saturday night. And if I'm having chicken on Thursday night, then we're having red meat on Friday night, just to, you know, not to be boring. Saturday, I do make lunch because it's Shabbos, but Saturday night, Motzei Shabbos, is leftovers. Or usually it's sort of my one concession to processed meat, and we will have hot dogs on that day. That's always a nice Saturday night supper. And I always have hot dog rolls and frozen hot sausages in my fridge, in my freezer, just for in case. Sundays, for those that are at home, it's salads or soup in winter. And for dinners, something light as well. I usually do something with eggs, like a frittata or a quiche or something simple to do. And the quiche is simple because I don't make it with a crust. If I made it with a crust, it would not be a Sunday night supper. It would be too confusing. So how do I go about this? Now, I've got my template, which is easy, but how do I go about putting it onto a meal plan? Now, when you're starting to meal plan, I suggest doing only 1 week at a time and start with your dinners first, and then you can increase as you feel more and more confident with your recipes and as your recipe collection grows. Or, you know, it doesn't matter how many recipe books you've got. If you aren't going to use them, then there's no point in having them. But we do all tend to have this these recipes that we go back to over and over and over again. And that's why I liked my recipe template, was because I didn't have to do that. I could vary it. It's one, unfortunately, one of the complaints that comes at home is, what's the point of telling you we like something when we never see it again? I do try the ones that are really popular to put them on at least once every month for people to have. So my first thing is dinners. That is the first one I plan. Now, always plan my Wednesday night supper first, because that's my easiest. I know it's mince. And that, like I said, can be anything from burgers, bolognese, boerewors, tacos, sloppy joe, shepherd's pie, cottage pie, ragu, chili con carne. There's just so many. And I just run down the list and write one on each Wednesday. That's the first one. Then I do, the next process was finding out what came up as the most popular meals when I asked the family what they like to eat. So the first session that I spoke about meal planning, I said finding out what your family likes to eat was a very important step. So what I do with all of that is I take everybody's pieces of paper with their favorite meals on, and the ones that came up on more than one person's page, those are the ones I plan out next. So that's an important thing. Then, and for me, even though I don't always like it, it's the kids like it, the family likes it. It's relatively easy to make and also freezable. So macaroni and cheese and lasagna. Now, lasagna is so freezable. I make it ahead. I make a huge batch of the white sauce and a huge batch of the homemade tomato sauce. So it's frozen in there, so I know that they can freeze well. What I do is, 1 week will be macaroni and cheese, the next will be tuna lasagna, the week after that will be a vegetable lasagna, and for the fourth week in the month, I will come up with something else that is nice and cheesy that everybody likes to eat. Now, except for tuna, most of my family will not eat fish, and there are some who won't even eat the tuna. So that is something that I need to look at when I plan my meals. We're going to take a break now, and when I come back, I will continue with the meal planning. You are listening to the Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM. I'm Adrian Bugatti.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, you're listening to Adrian Bugatti, and this is the Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM 101.9. Once again, if you've got any suggestions or ideas, tips or information on cooking and food that you'd like to share with us, please send a message, SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50. You can send a telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. So I was talking about my meal plan. So Thursday night is what we call a dry meal. So it's grilled or roast chicken. It's beef, beef that is fried or skewered without a sauce. So those are the dry ones. I do still sometimes make curries and stews as an option, especially in winter months. And great, because I can put it on the morning before I go to work, and then it's ready when I get home. Friday night meals are all done in gravies, obviously, to keep them from drying out in the warmer. And they are my big meals, so they do take more planning, which is why I do them at the end, because it will be a soup, one main protein, not two. We're cutting down on the cost. So it's either chicken or meat, and then one starch veg, and then two other veg of some sort, you know, just to have some color. And occasionally I do a dessert, but we are not big dessert eaters. So that's an important part. For me, my slow cooker is one of the most integral parts of my kitchen. I use it right throughout the year and throughout the week, not just for Shabbos. Right, some kosher updates before we end the show today. So from Johannesburg, Beth Din, the 18th of January, food lovers, Mari biscuits and lemon creams are once again certified and Purev with a Beth Din logo. please note they must have that logo. Stafford's Dijon mustard is not certified kosher, even with the Beth Din logo. They have accidentally put the logo on, and they are busy fixing that. Then some kosher alerts from Australia. These are all from this last week. Fries, dippers, sauce, basil, pesto is parv. Then the Food for Health gluten-free porridge range, the almond, apple, and maple porridge, raspberry and coconut porridge are both parv and kosher. Coles Australian garlic paste, the 140-gram one, has also been added to the list. The next item from Australia is IXL jams, their blackberry 50% less sugar and their marmalade 50% less sugar are also kosher and parv. Aldi Australia organic kombucha, raspberry and lemon, and the organic kombucha, ginger and lemon are also kosher. Spiral Foods organic fungi pasta sauce, kosher and parv. Sunrise quick cups and sachets are with brown rice and quinoa flavor are kosher and parv. And then the last one from Australia, the Woolworths Australia gluten-free chocolate chip mini biscuits are kosher and parv. So to talk about my food challenge this week, well, I issued a challenge a couple of weeks ago to try and bring your food bill down to 180 Rand per person per week. It is hard. It is doable. It does mean that meat eaters will suffer a little, as one of, and fish eaters as well, as that is some of the things that you would need to reduce your intake of quite drastically. And I suggest not trying to get there straight away. Start bringing it down, working out what are you spending each week on food, and then trying to cut it down slowly by about 50 Rand per person every week until you get to as close to as 180 Rand as you are comfortable with. So we started off, please remember, with the 180 Rand challenge, you can work it out over a month. So some months will be more, some weeks will be more, some weeks will be less, but it should average out to 180 Rand per person per week. Please note this is just for food, nothing else. And it, take it slow. Look at your specials. The specials on at the moment, one of the stores has a 10 Rand special on vegetables. Be careful with that, please. It is tempting. If I sat down, this morning just to do a thing and to draw up a shopping list because I'm going to revise my meal plan based on their specials. But if you're buying stuff just because they're on special at 10 Rand, it's going to cost you. Only buying specials for my family, some of whom are in isolation and quarantine here at home. We're cooking a lot of meals. There's 8 of us and we are cooking 3 meals a day. So just the 10 Rand special is already nearly 400 Rand. And that's just for a week because there's no point in buying more unless I can freeze it. So I have ordered extra tomatoes because I need to make more tomato sauce. And that is my recipe for today. It is a red sauce, a pasta sauce. So how do you do it? It takes 30 minutes in prepping, but it cooks for about 3 hours. So you do need to be prepared. And it makes 3 liters, easily freezable. I freeze them in 250ml bags. Just remember to label and date them so that you know what's in them and you know when they were made. So your ingredients are 5 kilos of fresh tomatoes, 6 tablespoons of oil. I do like olive oil, but you can use plain cooking oil. It is fine. 3 medium onions, nicely diced. If you like it quite spicy, 6 cloves of garlic minced. You can go down to about 3, but anything less than that is going to get lost in the tomato. 2 cans of tomato paste, so it works out to be about 250 ml of tomato paste. 1 to 3 teaspoons of sugar, that is to taste. You can use a sugar substitute, but I'm a sugar person, so I'm not substituting anything. 1/2 cup of chopped fresh herbs or 2 tablespoons of dried Italian herbs. 1 tablespoon of salt plus more to taste, and then a half a teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. Now, if you're not using olive oil, you probably need slightly more black pepper to get that nice flavor to come out. And this is where the blanching comes from. You're going to have a large bowl filled with cold ice water ready and waiting. You're going to have a pot of boiling water on the stove, work in batches, score the skin of the tomato, drop it in the boiling water. It'll split open. It usually takes about 30 seconds, sometimes about a minute. Pull them out, put them into the ice cold water. Please use a slotted spoon so you don't burn yourself, and the skin just slips off. Then you're going to cut away your tomato. You chop it up roughly. You can put it on a blender. If you really are in a mood, you can squish them by hand. Just note that those pips and seeds go everywhere, and set it aside. To make the sauce, you're going to put olive oil into a pot over a medium-high heat. You're going to then add the onions when the oil is really, really hot. Cook and stir it with a wooden spoon until the onions are soft and golden. It's about 8 minutes. Please note, I am cooking on a gas stove, so that's the times that I have. Add your garlic, cook it for another 30 seconds, making sure it doesn't burn. Then you add your tomato puree for another 1 to 2 minutes. Keep making sure by stirring that you don't burn anything. And then you can add your fresh tomatoes and bring that to boil. Turn your heat down to like a medium-low simmer, and you cook it for about 2 to 3 hours until it's nice and thick. Keep stirring. Make sure that the bottom of the pan doesn't get stuck and the sauce doesn't burn. If you're using salt or sugar, add it now. If you're using herbs and spices, put them in now, and then taste and add your spices as you need it. We're going to take an ad break now, and when we get back, we'll finish off the show. You're listening to Adrian Bugatti, and this is the Essen Fresen Show.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back. I'm Adrian Bugatti. You're listening to the Essen Fresen Show on Hi FM 101.9, and we're all about the food. So I was talking about how to make the homemade red sauce or pasta sauce, whatever you'd like to call it. The Americans call it tomato sauce. The best part about the sauce is once it's done, you can put it into freezer containers or the heavy-duty freezer bags, label it, date it, and put it in the freezer. The sauce lasts from 3 to 4 months in a normal little freezer, or if you have a deep freeze, it can go even longer, about 6 to 8 months. So it's always nice to have on hand. And it's one of the things that I teach in the meal planning is to have the tomato-based sauces or pasta sauces on hand, because they are the easy basis to a million different meals. Your mince meals, great. Your lasagnas, it's fantastic to have. Homemade pizza, beautiful to have it on hand. So keep that in mind when you are making this. It is worth the effort to do it every couple of months. If you are somebody who uses a lot of it, I would make 2 batches. I have never tried to double the batch. 3 liters is a lot of sauce, so you wouldn't need to do that much. And at most, I use 2 cups of, so 500 mils in any given recipe. So that is important to think about. And it makes a beautiful filling as well. If you have any suggestions, please, tips, questions, or information on cooking and food that you would love to share with us, please send us a message, SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. Send us a Telegram message, 061-895-1019, or email us on air at highfm.com. I would love to hear from people. If you've got a recipe that you would love to share with us, that and a story that goes with the recipe, please do. If there is a tip to get stains from cooking out of your clothing that you'd love to share with us, that's another nice one to do for me, please. So I would love to hear from everybody. And the last kosher alert I actually just found is from America. Pre-washed brands of iceberg, garden salad, and coleslaw. So if you're off to visit the States, or if you have somebody living in Detroit, please note that the pre-washed brands of iceberg, garden salad, and coleslaw that bear the OK certification, such as Dole, Kroger brand, and Market Side Walmart, currently do not bear the symbol on many bags. Even though some stores may have a mixture, the reason for this is they have a bit of an infestation, so they have been pulled off the market. And that is all from me this week. I love to speak to you all again next week with some new and amazing recipes. Thank you for listening to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti, your host. Until next week.
#YouDon'tHaveToBeJewish.